to Geopolitical Horizons, the podcast from geopolity.com. Now, it's that time of the year now where everyone's reviewing 2022 and they're giving their predictions, their forecast for 2023. So this is our forecast for 2023. We've got Geopolity founder Adnan Khan.
How are you doing, Adnan?
I'm good, Yusuf. I'm good. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. I'm well. Now, let's begin on a global level. So what is the current status of the global world order and what can we expect in 2023?
The global order, the global liberal order has obviously dominated the global system really since World War II. And even before we enter 2023, is struggling for its survival. So you find Donald Trump really ripped up most of the global order. So, you know, things like NATO, how relevant are they? Globalization now really seems to be coming to an end, or its current form seems to be coming to an end. I think now its official deglobalization is more popular than globalization. So all the things that connected the world, you know, the global free market, global trade, global supply chains, these things are now all struggling for their survival. And the reason why that is many people now feel the dependency on a global supply chain, the dependency on manufacturing abroad, just makes you so vulnerable to events that happen in faraway places. They will have a knock-on effect. So I think chief of this was the personal protective equipment during COVID. The fact that a lot of this was made in China and it took a long time to get this over showed people that really manufacturing needs to be local rather than in faraway places. I think the other key thing really is America's just done so many things to undermine the global liberal order. The global liberal order was supposed to be this rules-based order that everyone abided by, national sovereignty. Every state has borders, has a right to exist. So the Ukraine invasion, the Iraq invasion, America walking over all these concepts that have shaped the world, all of this really has really kicked the global liberal order down. So it's unlikely it will survive. Now, what will it morph into? What will it change to? We'll have to wait and see. It does look as though we're moving more and more towards just bilateral trade, nations making agreements with other nations rather than having these multilateral type agreements. Globalization and global agreements seem to have quite bad press at the moment. In most countries, people no longer want these regional and even global agreements. So, you know, the Britain leaving the EU is another example of this. So the current global liberal order, which was set up by the West, set up by America, that's really running out of steam. And I think in 2023 and beyond, we'll have to see what it actually morphs into. Probably the key thing is when nations make bilateral trade with other nations, it leads to more competition, it leads to economic nationalism, and it usually leads to wars. And globalization was supposed to be a solution to this problem. So that's why there's a lot of worry. You know, globalization is coming to an end. We may be moving to the era of great power competition and more state competition, which usually causes more war. So it's something to really watch.
Now, you make an interesting point about globalization, but before we discuss that, you mentioned about the US. The US is the global superpower. With all this that's happening, the globalization, what do you believe is in store for them in 2023?
So I think, Yusuf, in the case of America, it would be quite normal to look at their foreign policy, what they're doing around the world, and I think that is important. But I think when we're looking at America, especially for the next year, the more important thing is America's domestic situation. Domestically, America's in a mess. The differences between the American people is no longer red and blue, Democrat and Republican. It's way more than that now. It's on abortion, it's on LGBTQ, it's on the future of America. And these differences is what led to the Capitol Hill riots over a year ago. So the reports just come out now. The Capitol Hill inquiry has concluded that Donald Trump refused to accept that he lost the election. And he tried to use every power he had to overturn the electoral results. So they've recommended he faces criminal charges. And Donald Trump is representative of half the US population. His whole campaign has been that the election was actually rigged and he's the legitimate leader. So the issue really is, the key issue here is this dysfunction at home. At some point, it's going to catch up with America's global position. At some point, the stuff America's doing around the world will just not be a priority compared to the internal problems they've got. So Ted Cruz, former senator of Texas, he's already saying that Texas should secede from the American Union and go separately. He believes the Democratic Party is taking America down. And these sort of things, you know, rather than unite Americans and solve Americans' problems, politicians are looking at how do we use the differences for their own political gains. So I think, you know, what we're going to look for in 2023 is America's domestic issues, the division in America, and will this, and at what point will it catch up with America's global position?
Now, the other major issue that's happening in the world today is that the Ukraine war. It's gone on for almost a year now, and a lot of world powers are involved. Where do you think this is going to head to in 2023?
So I think probably the main trend of 2022 has been is Russia's really struggled to supply and provide the logistics for its troops in order for them to gain a victory. So the war seems to have now turned into a long grinding war. The fact that Putin had to further mobilize further troops shows you that the troops he sent in wasn't really enough to get the job done. So that's probably the key trend to watch for 2023. I think we need to watch US public opinion. Already the Republicans are posing a big obstacle. They feel that a blank check shouldn't be given to Ukraine. So this week, Zelensky was in America. It was very friendly, very smiley. But opposition is growing that it feels as though Ukraine has a blank check. So that's interesting, but it means public opinion is now starting to shift against the Ukraine war. And then the third probably aspect of the war is Europe. Europe's got major issues. The energy situation is really bad. Overnight, Europe cut its supply from Russia, and Russia supplied a chunk of Europe's oil, a chunk of Europe's gas, and there's no short-term fix to this. There is no alternative supplier that they can find. So the key thing really about Ukraine war is the implications now are spreading to other countries, to other industries, to other sectors. And it's affecting people in many, many different ways. So it's affecting food prices in the Middle East for people. It's affecting the price of cooking oil in places like Germany. It's affecting the price of wheat in places like Africa. So what you're finding is a war on the edge of Europe is affecting the whole world in different ways, you know, economically, from an agricultural perspective, from an energy perspective. However, the actual battlefield, it doesn't look as though there's going to be any major moves in the following year. Unless Ukraine sends an overwhelming force or Russia managed to find the resources to send in overwhelming numbers. We'll have to see the additional mobilization of troops by Russia. What impact does this have? Because, you know, these guys are being trained really in world record time, which really raises the question of how effective they're going to be. So I don't see any major changes. In fact, what I see is the effect of this war on the Russian economy, on the Russian people, and on everyone else. That's probably going to be the major aspect of this war going into 2023.
Do you think Russia can win it?
I think in the long run they can. Will they win it in 2023? I would go more lightly with no, they can't. And the reason why I say that is, I mean, firstly, what is victory for Russia? I think they've chopped and changed what victory looks like. Initially, victory was the conquest of the capital and the conquest of the whole country. They've obviously readjusted to that now. And it seems as though victory is the acceptance of Ukraine that around 20% of the territory Russia has now, they give that up. Now, Ukraine's not going to give that up because that 20% of territory is where most of the mineral wealth of the country is where most of the key industry is. And Ukraine is reliant upon America and the West giving it arms to fight this war. So for Russia to win, I think they're going to have to send in overwhelming force, which obviously raises a lot of issues. Can they? And what will the fallout from that actually be? So I think really two things really there. What is victory? I think that keeps changing from a Russian perspective. But to achieve that would require you to send in overwhelming force. And that just raises the question, why did Russia not do that in the first place? Why did you send in a force which was much smaller than you needed? when really you did have the forces, and if you had set them in early, maybe we won't be talking about what we're talking about now. We wouldn't be talking about a Russian victory. So I think that's probably the best way to look at this in 2023.
Now, the longer this war goes on, it's having a major impact on the Russian economy. Can you give us any details about that? What's the forecast for 2023?
Yeah, so naturally, going to war has an impact on your economy. You need to shift economic production to the war effort, munitions, food, and everything that goes into warfare. Obviously, in the case of Russia, you've got a whole sanctions regime against Russia now. So Russia's effectively been cut off from global trade. It's been cut off from the SWIFT international payment messaging system. Europe has basically cut buying energy production from it. And although Russia's making more money from oil exports, it's not because it's selling more oil. From a volume perspective, Russian sales have gone down. But because the price of oil has gone up, Russia's actually making more money from it. Now, naturally, this is going to have an impact on the Russian people. You know, if you can't trade as a Russian, if you are Russian and you work for a foreign company, you can't get payment. This is going to have a knock-on effect on the economy. For the moment, it looks as though the Kremlin has managed this quite well. But I feel this is probably going to be a major issue in 2023. I think the fact that energy exports are not bringing in the money they believed, the fact that Russia now can't import key raw materials, this is going to have an effect on the Russian people. And I think this is probably a key thing we're going to be watching at the geopolitics in 2023. Size of unrest within Russia. There have been protests in Russia, but they've been quite a small scale in a few cities. And even the protests against mobilization, it's been largely in the Muslim areas in the Caucasus. And that's a lot of that's to do with the way officials have fulfilled their quotas. But I think definitely probably a major thing of this Ukraine war will be the effect on the Russian economy and the effect on the Russian people in 2023. And it's something we're definitely going to be watching.
Now, this question comes up time and time again. But with the war dragging out, do you think Russia will use nuclear weapons?
So I think Russian use of nuclear weapons is only in a scenario if something existential happens, or even if Russia's on the verge of like complete defeat. But even then, this has happened before to Russia, they didn't use nuclear weapons. Russia was basically defeated in Chechnya, didn't use nuclear weapons. Russia was defeated in Afghanistan as the Soviet Union. And it left, it didn't use its nuclear weapons. And I mean, this is probably a whole discussion in itself, but you know, nuclear weapons has more of a political aspect to it. It's about where a power do you really want to mess with us? Its use in the theater of war is limited from the perspective of it has such a broad impact. If Russia was to use a nuke in Ukraine, the nuclear fallout will go into Russia as well. Russia has a border with Ukraine. You know, nuclear weapons don't respect borders. Also, you know, Russia has had many setbacks in the Ukraine war. It failed to conquer Kiev. It's failed to hold on to Kharkiv and Kherson. Russia didn't use nuclear weapons in this scenario. But I think from a Russian perspective, they like to put nuclear weapons on the table to be taken seriously. But to use it in a battlefield scenario, I think is very, very unlikely. And Russia's got to take into account your use of nuclear weapons will lead to a response from the West. And ultimately, for the Kremlin, it's about regime survival. They're not going to do anything which will lead to the end of the regime. So I think it's quite unlikely. But yeah, there are some scenarios where possibly they could be used. And that depends on the circumstances at the time.
Moving on from Russia and Ukraine, if we look at China, it's a growing power. What can we expect from China next year?
So China also is facing significant challenges. Despite all the talk of China doing things globally, of China being a global power, its actual main challenges are domestic. You've seen in Xinjiang, you've seen in Hong Kong, you've seen in Taiwan, China has struggled to integrate these people. And this is China's major challenge. China's other major challenge at the moment is actually its economy. Its economy is struggling. The strict COVID lockdowns is having an impact. But more importantly, because of the Ukraine war, this is having an effect on Chinese exports. Now, Xi Jinping, when he came to power, one of the objectives was that he was going to sort out the economic model. He was going to make China less dependent upon exports to the West. And that hasn't happened. So as a result, this is having major implications on the Chinese economy. And the Communist Party in China, its credibility rests on its economic performance. The other challenge China's got is this year, in July, it looks as though India will become the largest populated country in the world. Now, you'd think for a country like China who's struggling with large population, that's probably a good thing. However, where China is in its stage of development, it's not actually a good thing. It's actually a bad thing. What that means is China's population and the size of the workforce is starting to balance out to the point where it's going to start shrinking. So already, I think in 2021, the percentage growth in China's population was the smallest it's been for decades. And the expectation is in the next 2-3 years, China's population will start to decline. So that means the number of workers will start to reduce. More people will be older rather than younger. And that has massive implications for China in 2023 and going forward. So China's challenges are domestic. Despite its rhetoric about its global role, really its major challenges are domestic. And this is what it's going to be dealing with in 2023 and beyond.
Xi Jinping celebrated his decade in power in 2022, a massive achievement. And he's created this image of a strong man. But there have been a lot of problems towards the end of 22, a few protests. Where do you think he's going next year?
So I think Xi Jinping is going in the direction he's really been going in for the last decade. Xi Jinping has focused on one thing, and that is by getting rid of all the opposition, by getting rid of every competitor to him under the guise of a corruption purge and making sure all powers are invested in him personally. We are literally going back down to the Mao era now, where one person is China. And that's really what he's been doing. He's used the economy and he's used a corruption purge to really put himself at the center of China. He's got rid of military generals, retired generals who potentially could be a threat to him. And this he's going to continue with going forward. Now, obviously, he's got some major challenge to deal with, China's economic model. But I would say more importantly, 4 weeks ago, there was a fire in Urumqi, which is the town, I think the main town in Xinjiang region. And what happened was there was a fire in the building and 10 people passed away. But the reason why 10 people passed away is because the exits were welded shut because of China's strict lockdown COVID policy. As a result, there were protests in Urumqi, which then spread to other parts of China. And it's the first time in a long time we've had protests. This is what China is having to deal with. And the fact that Xi Jinping is a strong man isn't necessarily a solution in itself. He's been very strict with lockdown. Any sign of COVID in a town leads to overnight that whole province being shut down. So at the moment, Xi Jinping seems to have eased up a bit on this policy, but that's because of the protests. That's due to the unrest. So I feel Xi Jinping is going to continue with the strongman image. He's really centralized power. And despite projecting this abroad that he's a strongman, really none of this helps in dealing with China's internal issues. The economic model, the spreading of wealth in the country, the development of the different regions of China, the fact that you're a strongman means absolutely nothing. This requires policy. This requires these sort of things. And this is not what Xi Jinping's been doing for 10 years. For 10 years, rather than deal with these issues, he's been too busy getting rid of all competition and strengthening his own power. So I think he's going to continue with this in 2023, and it likely will lead to opposition in the Communist Party. And that's something we're going to be looking out for signs for in 2023. And I mean, probably one main lesson Xi Jinping has taken is he's seen what America's done to Russia. He's seen what happens if America turns against you. And China is more dependent upon Western markets than Russia is. China's economy is built upon them mass producing goods and the West consuming them. If China even makes a go of Taiwan, or it challenges the West in parts of the world, what Xi Jinping is looking at is, look at Russia, you're going to be 10 times worse. So I think these are probably going to be the calculations of Xi Jinping in 2023.
Europe's been facing a few challenges, especially due to the war in Ukraine. The whole energy situation. Do you think that will actually get any better in 2023?
No, so Yusuf, I think it's set to get worse in 2023. At its heart, the problem you have, Yusuf, is the volume of gas Russia provided, the volume of energy it provided, cheap, large volumes. There is no replacement for that. There's no fix for that in the short term. So what Europe's done is cut its supply from Russia, and it has no other country or no other collection of countries that can replace it. African energy can't replace it. Caucasian energy from Azerbaijan, these places, they can't replace it. American LNG can't replace it. Domestically, they can't replace it. You're going to have to get multiple regions, multiple countries to pick up the slack that came from Russian energy. So the knock-on effect of this is higher energy prices. The knock-on effect of this is blackouts. The knock-on effect of this is in German industry, companies now need to prioritize what they're going to manufacture and what they're not. So this does beg a question here. Why did Europe side with America politically when economically it's going to be held to ransom? But it seems for the moment the political leaders of Europe have decided that politically they're better off in the American camp than in the Russian camp, despite its economic dependency. So I think, you know, we're in the winter now, we're near the end of December. The energy crisis is just starting now. It's going to get far worse as Europe gets even colder. And there's going to be no alternative, really, to the Russian energy that used to heat and warm most European cities.
Now, obviously, this is going to affect a lot of the European countries, but particularly Germany. How do you see them resolving this next year?
So Germany is in a major strategic dilemma. Since World War II, Germany outsourced security and politics to America. And that meant that America would provide Germany with a nuclear umbrella. America would effectively take care of German security. And when it came to the economy and energy, Germany effectively outsourced that to Russia. So for Germany, it was a marriage made in heaven in a way. You've got two countries who are taking care of two aspects of your country, which means you don't need to invest in it. And the relationship worked well for a few decades. But now, effectively, America's saying is you've got to make a choice which partner you want to be with. You can't be with both. And what Germany has a bit of a problem, because Germany has always taken a pragmatic position. So despite America not being happy with Germany being so dependent upon Russian energy, Germany played this pragmatic game where let's just keep getting cheap Russian energy. Let's keep talking against Russia, but actually dealing with her. And on the other side, we're never going to invest in our military. America's going to do that for us. Now they're going to make a decision. And for the moment, it seems the German leadership has decided to get in bed with America. And this is having major economic implications. 50% of the German economy is based on exports. So German industry manufactures high-end goods, chemicals, industrial goods. And these will require large amounts of energy to produce them and they get exported. So really, in the case of Germany, Germany's economic model, Germany's economic situation, Germany's economic and leadership position at the heart of Europe, all of these have a question mark over them in 2023. The Germans hoped we could play both sides and gain the benefits of both. That era is now ended now. And their dependency on Russian energy, there's no short-term fix to this. So they've got some major strategic decisions they're going to have to be dealing with in 2023.
What about us in Britain, Adnan? Are you saying the bills are going to still keep going up?
So I saw actually a few weeks ago, one of the newspapers was talking about the change of leadership in Britain. It puts a banana republic to shame. And the question he asked is Britain turning into a banana republic? Things are not looking good for Britain. They've had, politically, they're in a mess. The Tory party that's been the historical leader of the UK, they're in a complete mess. They've got a lot of internal competition going on. And that's why I think we've had three leaders. You know, we've had more leaders than, you know, the famous London buses that never turn up. That's politically. On the economic front, Brexit has not been the utopia that they were promised. I mean, there was always a debate about, you know, Brexit. But I think just 2 weeks ago, one of the think tanks in the UK, their research concluded that food prices have gone up because Britain's no longer part of the EU. And we've got to keep in mind, 50% of trade, nearly, Britain's trade with the European Union. Now that you've left the EU, borders and restrictions have been erected. You're no longer part of the Union. So, but that was the, this was the exact argument used, that if we leave the European Union, things will get better for the UK. So economically, things are not looking good. And I think you're right. I think Britain is slowly leaving the Premier League of Nations. It used to be Britain punches above its weight. Now it seems to be Britain's a medium power that punches above its weight. And I would say countries like Turkey are probably more influential now in the world. If you look at some of the key issues around the world, you need Turkey at the table to resolve them. So Britain is in a very difficult scenario. And at the moment, Yusuf, as you know the nurses are on strike, the post office is on strike, The NHS is on strike. I think other public sector workers are going to be going on strike, and they're calling this the modern winter of discontent. So eventually it was someone like Margaret Thatcher who came into power and made strategic changes in the economy that salvaged Britain. And I think that's going to be happening. I think this is even beyond Margaret Thatcher type character. So countries like India must be thinking, if they've got a larger economy than the UK, then why do they not have the United Nations Security Council seat? Why are they not in international organisation replacing Britain? Why is Britain there when it no longer has the economy and the clout to really be in these global institutions? So, yeah, there are some serious strategic issues for Britain in 2023.
Now, going back to what we spoke about earlier, deglobalization, the global economy, even tech wars, these things seem to be a big issue for next year. Could you shed some more light on that?
Yeah, so we discussed deglobalization. The trend now is the opposite to globalization, where we were integrating global markets, integrating supply chains. Production would move from your country to abroad because it was cheaper. Now it seems to be going the other way, where it's all about local manufacturing, local production. It's not about integrating more with other countries. It's actually about bilateral trade and bringing production locally. The other element of the global economy that's important for us to look for is the tech war. The tech war is officially starting now. It started with semiconductors, with Joe Biden effectively putting export controls on semiconductor exports to China. Now, semiconductors are essential to modern electronics. And what America is trying to do is restrict China's access to the more modern and the more sophisticated microchips. And this is leading to all sorts of issues. It's leading to a global chip shortage. China was the cheapest and most efficient place to produce most chips. Although Taiwan makes the more advanced chips, the majority of chips, which were the more basic ones, they were made in China because that was the cheapest and most efficient place to actually make them. The fact that America's trying to pull the carpet underneath China's chip industry, this is going to lead to more tension. It's going to lead to countries having to decide between which side do they want to be on. Do they want to be on the Chinese side where they get a regular supply of cheap microchips? Or do they want to be on the American side where politically they're united with her, but that has an impact on your economy? So yeah, deglobalization and the tech war, specifically the semiconductor war, these are going to be key issues for the global economy in 2023.
Do you think there'll be a global recession next year?
Yeah, I think it's official now, Yusuf. We will be going to a global recession in 2023. The impact of COVID, the lockdowns, and the state of the economy in most places, add to that the fallout of the Ukraine war, it's led to a massive impact on global economic activity. And it's almost certain we're going to go into a global recession. It's probably coming at the worst time. Most people have never recovered from the lockdowns. In fact, many people were still impacted by the global economic crisis back in 2008. Now, that doesn't bode well for many, many countries because it means you're going to get social unrest. You're going to get what you're getting in the UK, more and more protests. And these sort of things can then lead to political change or populists coming to power. So definitely something to watch in 2023.
Now, just to finish off, Adnan, I've got a few quick-fire questions for you. Give the first answer that comes to your head. Are we on the verge of the Arab Spring 2.0?
Yep, I think we definitely are, Yusuf. I feel the conditions that led to the original Arab Spring are not just there today, but they're far worse. The economic situation is far worse. In the case of Egypt, the leader is more authoritarian. You find the fallout from the Ukraine war has affected wheat prices and food prices in the Middle East. So I believe if it's not 2023, it'll be very soon. We're not just likely, I think it's due. It's overdue, actually, the Arab Spring 2.0.
Will Trump become president again?
So it's looking more unlikely, Yusuf. I think the midterm result has shown he's not as popular as he used to be. And I think this is, Yusuf, Trump's whole campaign is the election was rigged. I won the last election and it was rigged. And I just don't think that matters to a lot of people. For a lot of people, it's about the economy. And the last thing Trump can do is make a coherent argument about the economy, about policy. If you look at his debates with Hillary Clinton when he ran for president, none of it was on actual concrete stuff that mattered. It was all about Hillary Clinton, her emails, her husband, and what he got up to. So I wouldn't write him off completely. But what I'm saying is we're in what, end of 2022, so the election campaign starts next year. And the general election will be in 2023. We'll have to see these criminal charges against him, the impact they have. But I think it's looking more and more unlikely. he just doesn't have the advantage of being the new man from outside the system anymore. He's from the system now. He's been in power. So these things, I think, go against him rather than help him. So I think it's looking more and more unlikely. But again, it's something to watch in the next year or two.
What about Erdogan? Do you think he will win the election next year?
So Erdogan's an interesting scenario. His party is now running for the 7th election. The AKP party has been in power now for 20 years. They came in 2002. Erdogan, you know, 2023 is the 100-year anniversary of the Turkish Republic. 2024 will be the 100-year anniversary of the destruction of the Caliphate. Erdogan wants to be around for all of these events. He wants to be the symbol of Turkey. But for the first time, Erdogan is not the favorite to win. And actually, a lot of opposition is growing against Erdogan within his own party, because of his authoritarian streak and centralization. And the economy is doing really, really bad at the moment. You know, for years, he built his credibility on the economy. I think he will win the election, but not because of his popularity. I mean, already he's imprisoned the main opposition contender against him. I think he's going to resort to those sort of tactics. But I think the beginning and the end of Erdogan has started. And if he was prudent, he should be thinking about his exit strategy and who's going to replace him and build them, rather than try and stick it out, because this will just unite the opposition even more against him.
Will Putin get overthrown?
So this really comes a lot from the West. Because of the Ukraine war, there's been a big push that Putin may get overthrown, but the Ukraine war is going really bad. I think there's two things with this. The first one is Putin is not Russia. This is just a very black and white way, the way the West looks at Russia. Russia is run by the security class, who managed to edge people out of power because of the disaster that overtook Russia in the 1990s. And Putin was one of their men who's been the actual face of it. So the security class are in power. Now, to remove Putin is irrelevant, because another security class member will come into power. And in fact, Putin's departure has started. 2-3 years ago, they put a new rule for presidential term limits, which was an indicator that Putin's going to be moving on very, very soon. So no, I don't think Putin will get overthrown. And even if Putin gets hit by a bus tomorrow and he dies, it changes nothing, because the security class still remain in power.
What about in Iran? There's been a lot of problems in Iran. Do you think the Iranian regime will get overthrown?
So I don't think they will, despite how bad it looks for them. I don't think they will get overthrown. And that's purely because the uprisings are still not completely national. What you're finding is they get a lot of coverage in the West, but they're actually quite specific in certain areas. So they're in the Kurdish areas. And yeah, they're in the main city in Tehran. And you saw them in the other major cities. You've not seen protests in the rural areas. And more importantly, 50% of Iran is made up of minorities. These protests have not spread to all the minority areas. In 1979, when the revolution happened, the protests happened in the Persian areas and in the non-Persian areas. That hasn't happened yet. However, the long-term survival of the regime, I think, is questionable now. The clerical regime has run the country into the ground. They've messed up the economy. People were protesting 2-3 years ago, and the lockdowns for COVID were used to step down upon them. And that's what the regime's done here as well now. So I think for survival, the regime's going to have to change. I think the Revolutionary Guards are going to move more into a position of power. And the supreme leader will become just a nominal figure. And this has actually been the history of Iran. If you look at Iran, prior to World War II, you had a military man in power, Mohammad Reza Shah, who became the monarchy. He was a strong military man, and then his son took over after. So I think we're going back to that same strongman system in the country. But the clerical system that they established, that can't survive in the long run. So either they make the necessary changes, or potentially they get overthrown in the long run by the people. This particular uprising, I don't think it's going to do that. But I think the writing's on the wall for the long run.
Britain, do you think we'll have another prime minister?
I think it's likely. Rishi Sunak is a boring, quiet prime minister, which has been good for him because it means he's not in the news all the time and people are not questioning his policies, not like his predecessors, Liz Truss and Boris Johnson. However, opposition is growing against him. Within his own party, there are differences. There's a lot of protests by public sector workers who are going on strike. So there is question marks now about his strength and his dealing with the situation of the country. So that doesn't bode well for him. it's probably not a good idea for the Tory party to go through another internal electoral process, because this time round they're going to be forced to go for a general election. And all the polls show in a general election, the Tory party will get thrown out. So I think it's likely there will be challenges to the prime ministership. Sunak is struggling in the role because of the opposition against him within his own party. The feeling in the Tory party was he stabbed Boris Johnson in the back, and that was unacceptable. So I think it's possible, but obviously we'll have to wait and see in 2023 to see if it turns out that way.
And finally, do you think we will be seeing Imran Khan making a comeback?
So, yeah, Imran Khan, Project Imran Khan came to an end earlier in 2022 after 3 years and 7 months and lots of promises. He didn't really deliver on any of them. However, he does have the sympathy of the people. People feel the corrupt politician, they're all back in power. And Imran Khan had one advantage, which was he wasn't from a political background. He wasn't from a political dynasty. That went for him. However, he seems to have fallen out with the army, with the army leadership. And there was a bit of a tussle within the army by those who liked Imran Khan and by General Bajwa, who didn't like him. It seems General Bajwa won in the end because his protege, General Asim Mani, now is the head of the army. So I don't think Imran Khan will make a comeback in terms of being in a leadership role, but it doesn't mean he's going to disappear from politics. I think he'll remain in opposition. He's trying to remain relevant. I think it's unlikely for the moment he'll be back in a position of power. However, Yusuf, this is Pakistan, yeah? Nawaz Sharif has made a comeback 3 times. So, you know, anything's possible in a country like Pakistan.
Thank you for your time today, Adnan. A lot to look out for in the new year. Our strategic estimates, it will be published on the 2nd of January, so you can check that out from our website. We'll also be making regular updates on 2023 and what we've discussed today. Thank you for listening.